Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. I'm Patricia Modis, and I'm your host, a Filipino-American, native New Yorker, currently based in Los Angeles, bulldog mama, and an uncommon occupational therapist myself for the past 22 years. On this podcast, you will hear me proudly feature the unique careers of occupational therapy practitioners working in non-traditional and rural emerging practice areas, settings where OT is uncommon. I invite you to receive a dose of OT inspiration to learn, to think outside of the box, and to be energized and motivated to follow in these unconventional paths. Happy listening. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to highlight and extend a special thanks to TrueLearn and Picmonic, our sponsors. Picmonic is a visual mnemonic learning tool that's been research proven to increase retention and help students ace their exams. It uses audio-visual learning and intelligence-based repetition algorithms that really help with long-term retention while studying. It is an excellent learning resource and study aid for OT and OTA students. Picmonic has built a better way for students to prepare for tests, whether you're studying for classes or getting ready for the NVCOT exam. Try it for yourself and sign up today using the link in the show notes and using the code TRANSITIONSOT to score a discount of 20% off of your Picmonic membership. Happy studying! So welcome back, OT friends. Today, I'm very excited to introduce you to Dr. Patrice Maynard. Patrice is the founder and owner of Maynard Milestones LLC, a mobile pediatric private practice. She received her Bachelor of Science in Health Sciences degree, Master's degree in Occupational Therapy, and Post-Professional Occupational Therapy doctorate with a concentration in entrepreneurship from Quinnipiac University in Hamden, Connecticut. She is a board-certified occupational therapist licensed to practice both in New Jersey and New York, and has a background in skilled nursing, geriatric, subacute, and long-term care settings. Aside from those areas, Patrice is currently practicing as a pediatric occupational therapist for over 5 years in an early intervention setting as an independent contractor. During Patrice's post-professional OTD program, she created the Occupational Therapy Entrepreneurs of Color Community, OTEC, O-T-E-C, which is an online educational platform for OT practitioners of color who are entrepreneurs or who desire to be one, to provide networking opportunities and shared aligned space for occupational therapy practitioner business owners. She started its private Facebook group, which spawned into hosting and curating her first OTEC online conference in the midst of finishing her first year of her post-professional OTD program. It consisted of 35-plus panelists who are occupational therapy practitioner entrepreneurs of color, sharing their experiences of running their own clinical and non-clinical businesses. Upon graduation, she received the Post-Professional Occupational Therapy Doctorate Achievement Award from her program. So Dr. Patrice enjoys spending time with her family and close-knit circle of friends, especially her 9-year-old niece, who initially inspired her to do work in early intervention. She enjoys taking African fusion dance classes, traveling solo when possible, and dining out at restaurants as her favorite occupations. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Patrice Maynard. Welcome, Patrice.
Hi, Patricia. Thank you so much for the warm welcome. It was very exciting and awestruck to even hear all the things I've accomplished so far and hearing you read my bio. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Oh, well, I am so excited to hear about you, to learn more about the person who is behind the Occupational Therapy Entrepreneurs of Color movement, right? I call it a movement because it didn't exist before. So, and I remember, I witnessed the creation of it, and you know, it was part of the first one. So I'm thrilled to share everything that we can with our listeners. But before we get into all of that, as usual, I'd love for you to, just tell us a little bit more about your background, perhaps, and some of your favorite occupations. I know I named some already, but take it away.
Yes. So something about my favorite occupation. So I'll maybe go a little bit more about it. I enjoy traveling most of the time solo. And I just started doing that when I turned 30 years old. I had noticed that I didn't want to sit around and wait for other people to travel particular locations, especially if it was a desired travel list that I had in mind to follow. And I realized it was quite exhilarating, very exciting. And it was something that I wanted to do more and more, even if it would be just a small road trip or even traveling to the other side of the world. So I really enjoy traveling. I actually recently just got back from the Caribbean earlier in the summer, visiting my family out there. And it was the first time in 10 years. So it was a nice in-person family reunion. I visited both Anguilla, British West Indies, and St. Martin, both French and Dutch sides.
Ah, amazing. So I'm so glad you got to reconnect with your family after 10 years. Wow. That must have been an incredible reunion.
It really was incredible. Especially since COVID has happened. This is the first time that I did my first international trip since then. Mm-hmm. So it was very helpful for me to do that, especially since also graduating from my post-professional occupational therapy degree program. So it was like a exciting celebratory trip for me, and also to bring my family with me too.
Oh, amazing. Well, thanks for sharing a little bit more about you and what you've been up to lately. So I would love for us to segue a little bit into your work. This might be a great time for you to talk to us a little bit about, you know, what you've created here and perhaps, you know, maybe even sharing what's motivated you to start this.
Yes, absolutely. So I created my LLC back in 2017 when I ended up going into independent contracting with early intervention. And honestly, at the time, I didn't know I was starting a business. All I realized was that I was told, you know, if I'm going to be a 1099 contractor, I would have to create an LLC, create my business account, and take it from there. So not realizing it was going to spawn in all these other different projects that I delved into after that. So from there, being an independent contractor, I decided to start taking on clients privately, specifically school-based children. I noticed while doing my independent contracting with birth to three little ones, there was a trend of parents that were continuously asking me once they noticed that their child was about to age out of early intervention, asking if I can continue to see their child after they turn three. And I kept telling myself, no, I don't see children after three. And it came to a point where once the pandemic hit, I had a complete change in mindset. I really took that time to reevaluate where I wanted to move forward with my OT career. Mm-hmm. So I decided to take it upon myself and start seeing clients privately, aside of also taking on clients with early intervention contracting. So I decided to do that. So I'm on my second year taking on clients privately, which is really exciting. And then since then, I decided to go for my post-professional OT. TD. And since I knew with my capstone, I wanted to tie in OT and entrepreneurship. So in the midst of the height of the pandemic, I noticed that there were a number of OT practitioners who were looking into going into entrepreneurship that I decided to network with. And living in Jersey City, New Jersey, I noticed that a lot of the practitioners that I've worked with in different rehab buildings and locations basically all came from different diverse backgrounds. So there was never a time where I felt as if I was the only person who looked like me practicing OT. So once the pandemic had hit, I took it upon myself to, okay, let me step outside of what I know here in Northern New Jersey and connect with other occupational therapy practitioners from other parts of the country. And being able to network with them on LinkedIn, Clubhouse became really popular at that time. So there were a lot of different groups where I was connecting with other occupational therapy practitioners. And I just noticed this running theme where all of them were saying, or majority of them were saying, I want to go into entrepreneurship. I want to go into creating a business for myself as an OTP. How do I go about doing that? So, I noticed this trend and I realized, okay, let me see if there is like a community that's already out there that can host all of us or to have us in this type of platform. And I couldn't find it. So I thought to myself, okay, I guess I will be the trendsetter.
Yay.
Push this forward. Yeah. So create this initiative. So finishing up my first year of my post-professional OTD program, I took it upon myself to create a conference, which was a big ask for someone who was heavily into their program, along with also juggling work and also juggling seeing private clients too. And somehow I pulled it off. And like how you read in the bio, I was able to have 35 plus OT practitioners, including yourself, Patricia, who were so gracious enough to take time out of their day for the 2-day event to speak on different panels about entrepreneurship and their respective areas of entrepreneurship and occupational therapy. And it was such a whirlwind after it happened. And I looked at myself and I was like, wow, I did this? A little Caribbean American girl from Jersey City was able to accomplish this. So it was very exciting. And I knew that moving forward, I wanted to continue with this type of platform and eventually roll out different like digital products and continue to have this network going. So we're still going strong, year number 2. And now I'm in the midst of promoting my conference for this coming year.
Yay! Which is exactly why I've personally invited you to come onto the podcast. I think that what you have created, this networking space that you've created, was very much needed. And I appreciate and I'm happy that you took the opportunity and that you really took the chance and you saw that need and you said, you know what? I guess it'll, like you said, it'll just have to be me, right? And I'm glad it was you. And then here you are, year 2, right? So how many panelists do you have this year?
So I changed things a little bit differently. I have less panelists on purpose. So this time I have 22 panel speakers. Yes.
Very nice.
And I have 7 topics for this year.
Okay, wonderful. So yeah, maybe we can segue into that. Can you give our listeners a glimpse as to what they can expect? What are some of those topics that we can look forward to participating in?
Yes, absolutely. So we are going to have basically panel speakers from different walks of life in entrepreneurship in the OT field. So I have panel speakers talking on running their own physical practice, so brick and mortar outpatient practice, anyone who runs a mobile practice. I also have podcast hosts as panel speakers. anyone who has created like an online membership or like a physical product. Mm-hmm. I also have, which is new this year, anyone who is an occupational therapy practitioner and provides fitness. Mm. So I'm really excited about that one this year. And this actually had spawned from a topic that I had last year, which was a use your talents topic. And I noticed that I had more than one OTP that was speaking about fitness. So I realized, okay, maybe I can just have that as a separate topic for a panel discussion for this year. Exciting. So those are just a few topics that we have so far.
Yeah. Super exciting. So what can folks expect?
Yes. So I will be hosting the event. So I will be the one that will be asking questions to the panel speakers. So each panel would consist of at least two panelists to at most four panelists. And they will all be sharing about their specific journeys in entrepreneurship based upon that specific topic. So the discussion would run for about an hour. Discussion, and you'd be surprised how quickly that hour flies by. I mean, you could witness to that from last year's conference. And then the remaining, there would be 20 minutes after that hour of the specific discussion that is strictly for question and answers, where anyone who is an attendee would be able to have any burning question answered from the panel speakers about something in relationship to entrepreneurship, something in relation to what the panel speakers shared about their particular journey. So it'd be nice to get that feedback right away of your answer question from a OTP entrepreneur who is literally walking in the steps and the footsteps that someone is desiring basically to go into. So It's really exciting time, even though it's online as virtual, but you definitely feel the presence of, you know, that shared likeness and that shared community aspect, knowing that, oh my goodness, like there's a OT practitioner who looks like me and is doing something that I'm desiring to do in order to create my own OT journey for myself, in order to create the life that I want. So it's very exciting.
Yes, I very much agree. It's very exciting. And I very much agree with the vibe, right? The feel. It was just such a supportive space. I remember leaving just feeling like, wow, like I learned that, or wow, they did that, and just being impressed by the fact that, again, here we are, all OTs, but we're all doing a few different things, right? Even just in our own businesses. So yeah, I found that to be really impressive. And, I'm, you know, even more impressed that here you are, year two, and you're bringing it back. And, you know, you're bringing it back to the masses again. And, you know, in a refined way, it sounds like, because you learned a thing or two, right, from last year, and as in lessening the number of panelists, for example. But maybe we can segue a little bit into that, right? Because part of this is also us educating our listeners about, well, what does it take to do something like this, right? I know you and I have had side conversations about it and how complex it is. So I'm not even sure where I want to begin, but how about I just hand it over to you? And then, yeah, you tell us, you know, in your way, how can this be possible for us? Or maybe in a simplified way, what were the steps like for you to make this happen?
That is a great question. So I basically used, I have a background in direct sales, and I actually use those skills along with people skills building books that I have read and leadership skills building books that I've read and listened in order to be able to network and connect as much as I can with potential panel speakers. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, every single panel speaker that I reached out to was all through social media. Mm-hmm. And for example, like you and I, we never met in person, but somehow we just had an instant connection. I think it's because we're from the New York City metro area or something. Yeah. But what I ended up doing was I basically, it was just so many of the potential panel speakers. I've been following a number of them since the height of the pandemic. So being able to follow all of their different platforms, specifically on Instagram or on LinkedIn, I was able to get an idea of what they have been showing their respective audiences. So I already had an idea of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I would reach out to them, and by asking them to be a panel speaker, I would edify them and mention how I enjoy, you know, listening to them or watching what they're creating, mm-hmm. or their reels, and mentioning how it has helped me, or appreciate how the way that they deliver their message is very poignant and whatnot. And then from there, I would ask them if they would like to be a panel speaker for my conference. And I would mention about mm-hmm. when the conference is taking place, what the conference is about, what it consists of. And I would want to say 85 to 90% of whoever I reached out to all said yes. Yeah. So, which was very exciting because I'm like, wow, like I don't know these people personally, but I feel like just having that connection of watching them on their social media platforms, like I already had that connection already in a mm-hmm. way, in a sense. So being able to like edify that person and acknowledge what they have been doing, it was a compliment for them and a way for them to know that, hey, I've been watching you, like keep it yes. going kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think there's something equally supportive in you reaching out to these individuals, right? Because you're in a way validating that, hey, others may want to hear about the kind of thing that you're doing, right? And I personally wanted to be a part of it because there's been nothing like it before. And I just wanted to be a part of this, you know, really new thing that was happening. And I was curious as to what I would learn, right? And whom I would meet. So those were all such great reasons to be there and all. Yeah. Really, you know, also, I guess what's important to highlight is that it really, what you offered met my expectations. Right. And I had no idea what to expect because, again, this is the first time that it's rolling out. But, we're also in this new movement in our profession where we're really exploring other ways of being, right? Other ways of being OTs. Just, you know, for fun, just for, you know, just because we're realizing that, my goodness, you know, there are other settings to, you know, where we can practice too, or there are other ways that we can offer our services other than just the most traditional ways in the most traditional settings, right? So I think definitely piqued an interest. I will say that my experience during year one was that my questions were answered, and in fact, I left your conference feeling like, you know, I have contacts. Now I have contacts, right? And I think that's probably the biggest value here. And then you run with that. And I think that, you know, that's also something that's come up repeatedly through all of our episodes here on this podcast, is that networking is really key. It's connecting with individuals, and how when that connection happens, other sparks will happen, and that kind of leads into other things. So your conference is providing, you're making it very easy for the participant to avail themselves to all of that.
Yes, thank you for saying that. And the main thing that I wanted to make sure that I was highlighting is that representation piece. Mm-hmm. And that was why I feel like majority of the panel speakers agreed right away, because they also noticed too that there was nothing like this before and they wanted to be a part of it in some way. And like you, there were so many panel speakers after the conference that said, thank you so much for putting a platform like this together. Mm-hmm. I want to continue building networking with you, networking relations with you and the other panel speakers. And I also noticed that it was also a way for the other panel speakers to find out and reach out to other panelists that were there too, because there were a number of you who didn't know of each other's work. Mm-hmm. So even to have that exposure and to be able to share with them what you're doing in your respective OT businesses, it just opened floodgates, I feel like. So it was a great for seeing it as someone who's a participant and also someone who was like being a panel speaker on both sides. So I heard great feedback from both sides, which was awesome.
So I love it. I love the whole thing. And thank you for sharing, you know, more of those details. And I know the recruitment, you know, finding the speaker or finding the panelists and kind of making it all work with the schedule. But taking another step back, and I know we only have like an hour for this episode, and I keep bringing you back, but just taking a step back, how did you know how to even put a conference together, a virtual conference together? Can you shed some light on that? Or did that come sort of like from the entrepreneurial concentration of your doctorate degree?
So it actually started from being a member of Dr. Reina Oliveira's course conference or that she puts together. So I've been a panel speaker at her conference, and I was also a member of her online course that basically teaches you how to create an online course. Yes. And when I brought the idea of OTEC was to put together an online course. And then she brought it to my attention and said, you know what? This sounds more like a conference. Have you thought about putting together an online conference? I'm like, wait, what? Like, it just never, the idea just never came to mind. So I basically used her steps of creating an online course to put together the online conference along with my background in direct sales and the conference. So even though, yes, it's a 2-day event, but it takes a few months to put together those 2 days worth of information. So it's a lot of work, but I am, I'm a person that is like pretty strategic when it comes to like planning and organizing things. I think it's the Virgo in me. Mm-hmm. So, being able to be like strategic in that way of like planning out things, mm-hmm. Reaching out to the panel speakers and sending out information to them. Yeah. Sending out information to other organizations and even like potential sponsors too. So, you're basically reaching out and connecting and networking with a ton of people, not just panel speakers. So yes. You're marketing yourself and your skills and the conference at the same time.
Wow. I know you highlighted a couple of OT skills there already, right? Like strategic planning. You also mentioned leadership earlier. Can you think of any other specific OT skills that kind of stand out that you think really, you know, helped you in developing the conference?
Being adaptable, for sure. And, you know, there's sometimes when you're planning and you're putting something together, like an event, sometimes things can fall to the wayside. So you have to have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. So there were potential speakers who initially agreed. And then when it came closer to the event, they weren't able to be there for the event because life happens.
Yeah.
So being able to roll with those punches and being very adaptable, that's one. I feel like the whole activity analysis and breaking down activity, I feel like all of that definitely goes into play when you're putting together an event such as this, for sure, too.
Yes. Well, it was a very successful year one event. I have no doubt that, again, with what you've learned from year one, you've refined it at year two, so I'm excited to see what we have coming for us in a couple of weeks.
Yes, me too. I have a new panel speakers this year, and I have recurring panel speakers as well. So I'm very excited to hear from the new panel speakers because they are also OT practitioners that I've been following for some time as well. And actually, two off the top of my head were actually former guests of yours on the podcast.
Oh, really? Ooh. Yes. I'm excited to reconnect with them.
Yes. And, also going back to basically like refining more on the conference, another change that I did was making sure that this is going to be open to students. Last year I didn't focus so much on students, but I noticed that there has been an uptick of student followers on the Instagram page for OT Entrepreneurs of Color and also on the private Facebook page. So I'm broadening this to students. And I also noticed that there was a trend where there were practitioners who found out about the conference after it ended, and they were asking if there was a recording availability, and I didn't have it recorded last year. So this time there is an option for if you're not able to log on for both days, that you definitely can still participate by signing up, and you can have access to the recording once the two-day event is over.
Oh, that's an excellent option, because I don't know, you take notes, but then it's nice to be able to kind of listen to it again if needed, right? So I love that option. So would you be able, can you tell us, I guess, the details about the conference, the dates, the pricing, any other details that you think would be helpful for any of our listeners?
Yes. So the pre-sale has ended. So now we are officially open and tickets are now available. So full price ticket for a practitioner who wants to log on for both days is $225. And for a student, or if someone is not able to log on for both days and you want access to the recording, the price is $175. The conference takes place on Saturday, October 7th and Sunday, October 8th, 2023, from 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you for that. And Patrice, can you tell our listeners, I guess, just a little idea of what to expect once we log on?
Yeah, so when the conference starts, I like to set the tone, set the vibe. So there's nice, relaxing, chill music playing in the background. And from there, I start introducing the first panel speakers. I give any type of remarks along with like the introductory, any housekeeping items that I have to put out there. And then from there, we start and roll out all the different panel sessions. So we have 4 topics on Saturday's session, and then we will have 3 topics on a Sunday's session. And basically each session runs, like I said, about an hour of the discussion, and then 20 minutes after that of Q&A discussion, followed by about like a 10-minute break before we go into the next panel discussion session. So it runs pretty smoothly. Mm-hmm. I don't really have breakout sessions. Everyone is all is just in the one same room. I don't want to complicate anything. I remember one feedback in particular from an attendee last year saying that she was very impressed how smoothly things ran that way without having any breakout sessions. So I decided, okay, I'm not going to change it this year. I'll keep it as is. So it was refreshing to hear that feedback. Another reason why the Sunday session is going to be a little shorter is because of being able to give that feedback to the attendees. So I give like a Google form to the attendees. So at least everything from the conference is still fresh in their minds. Mm-hmm. So they can get as much feedback as possible of how the conference was for them. I provide different questions for them to answer so I can utilize those answers to see if I maybe want to keep things the same, if I want to slightly change things for the next time I want to put together the conference. So thankfully, all of the feedback that I received was very, very positive, like across the board, mm-hmm. which made me very excited to do it again this year. So anyone who attended last year, if you thoroughly enjoyed it and you want to come back again this year and be able to see different panel speakers this time and also fan favorites. What yes. I thoroughly enjoyed too is that I had a span of OT practitioners who have been running their therapy business or clinical, non-clinical business for either a year or as long as like 20 plus years. So I had like veteran OT practitioner entrepreneurs yes. to people who had like recently started their therapy business. And it was refreshing. And I was so elated to even hear from those particular panelists who have had their own therapy business for like 20 plus years. And just hearing the feedback from the other panel speakers, they were in awe. They're like, wow, you had this person, you had that person. I've been watching them since X, Y, and Z years and whatnot, or this person inspired me to do that. So being able to pull in and network all ranges of entrepreneurial years and journeys, quite refreshing to see that. And also seeing that they're not intimidating either.
Yes.
Like, I feel like some panel speakers, or like OT practitioners, we kind of like put them on like a pedestal kind of a thing, but they were just so down to earth and just so warm and inviting. And it still gives me chills.
Yes. And that's like the wonderful thing about our fellow OTs, I guess, for the most part, right? Like, everyone's really so willing to help and to just support and, you know, offer mentorship or guidance. So I really love that about our communities. And again, this very special community that you created was just much, much needed. And I was wondering if any of our listeners were interested in following your path and wanting to create something similar. Do you have any advice for them?
That's a great question too. My advice would be, don't be afraid to ask questions of an OT practitioner who is much further along than where you are in your OT journey or your OT entrepreneurial journey. You'd be quite surprised to know that more than likely they will be willing to you know, share their information with you. But at the same time, don't take and take and take. Offer maybe like a $5 virtual Starbucks card or something like that, or some type of way to like barter with them. Mm-hmm. So you are making sure that you're within like their scheduled time and being cognizant of their time too. And then when you set up like a Zoom meet with them or something, make sure that you are respectful of their time too, because even though they're all equally amazing, at the same time, you want to make sure that you are as respectful as possible to them. Make sure that you are edifying them. So edifying as in highlighting, acknowledging what they've done and how they have been able to speak to their respective audiences with whatever it is that they are sharing about their related businesses. So don't be shy to ask.
Great advice. I'd have to say that, you know, I had to put the shyness on the shelf being a podcast host, having, you know, really needing the courage to just ask, hey, how about being a guest on my podcast? So now that comes a lot more naturally, but and now I try not to think of it so much as a challenge, because it's almost a need, right? If I don't ask, you'll never know that I'm interested in having you on the podcast. And like you, most OTs that I've asked have really just given me two thumbs up, right? Or I'm not ready right now because I'm working on this project. How about you reach out to me in a couple of months? So I don't recall ever having, gotten a firm no, right? It's always either, I don't really have time for it right now, but, you know, check in with me again in a little bit. So again, OTs are so willing to help each other out for the most part. And I completely agree with just going for it. Ask. If you don't ask, you'll never know.
Exactly.
That's sort of a little mantra that I have. So such great advice. So Patrice, how do we find you? How do we sign up for your conference? But if our listeners were interested in following you and your work, can they do so? And is it okay if they stay in touch?
Absolutely. So I have a few ways that you can keep in contact with me for the conference. On Instagram is at OT Entrepreneurs of Color. My regular business page, so like my independent contracting, that's at Maynard Milestones. And that's both on Instagram and on Facebook. And on LinkedIn, Patrice Maynard. And by email, you can email me, MaynardMilestones@gmail.com.
Got it. And again, we will list everything in the show notes. So don't worry if you missed any of that, because we'll have it there for you.
Thank you, Patrice.
Thank you so much, too. Again, you're doing such a wonderful thing. So happy you're bringing it back year two. Cannot wait to be a part of it. And I cannot wait to hear about its successes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Patricia. I can't thank you enough for the platform that you created here to bring uncommon OTs, including me, in your community, and being able to hear all the wonderful creative ways that OTs are setting up their careers based upon likes and interests of theirs that they've developed over time, based upon maybe a lack of something or just an interest in general. So being able for you to highlight us OT practitioners, it's so needed, and I highly commend you for doing this. So I'm so happy you allowed for me to be here. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you too. This has been such a wonderful platform, and having you has been an honor. It really is to highlight the OTs who are doing the uncommon work, the work that has not been done before, such as the work that you've been a part of. So thank you for sharing that on this platform. I've also, like you, felt that, you know, there is a need to talk about about the different things. And I think that's kind of where your passion and mine intersects a little bit. It's, you know, a lot of my podcast guests and these uncommon OTs are in fact entrepreneurs, right? And, you know, some, like you said, are going to be a part of year two. So I'm just thrilled that this exists, that you exist, and that we're all collaborating on this together, much needed space for OT practitioners. So thanks for bringing the knowledge here on the Uncommon OT Series podcast, and I wish you all the best on year two.
Thank you so much.
And that wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT Series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of Uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, Uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.